Well, how are you, everyone? My name is Cliff Snyder, and I'm the honorary chief of the Chinook Indian tribe. My fourth great-grandfather was Chief Conconley. That met Lewis and Clark in 1805. Oh, I always say they discovered the Lewis and Clark expedition at that particular time at the mouth of the Columbia River. And he was the most famous Chinook Indian chief of all time.
Today on Turtle Island Storytellers, we join Cliff Snyder, who tells us ancient legends about the origins of the Chinook. Off mic, he tells us how the Chinook peoples originally lived in the Pacific Ocean. Every season, they would turn themselves into salmon and come up the river, where their relatives, the Indians, would harvest them, eat them, and then throw their bones back into the river. The salmon would then swim back to sea, where they would turn into humans again.
As they Lewis and Clark came down the river, they found the Wadalas, the Wasuklis, the Shotos, the Skilutes, the Kathlamets, the Wakayakums, the Lower Chinooks, and the Clatsops. And so at that particular time, there were over 16,000 Chinook Indians living on the river. And actually, they didn't live in one big camp like Sitting Bull with teepees and many tribes around him, but they lived in little villages along the river. At the mouth of every stream. And there might be 40 in a village or 50 in a village. And when the maiden married another Indian, she would move to his village. And as I was mentioning, they used that as their main source of transportation. It was their superhighway. They didn't have as many paths in those days, but they all went by canoe. And as everyone knows, the Chinooks had one of the best canoes in the world. And in fact, they were so good, when the white man later built their clipper ships, they patterned the shape of their clipper ships after the Chinook canoes, and they were the fastest ships in the world. When Lewis and Clark came down the river and those logs that were hollowed out, they were no match for the Chinooks. I also have another famous relative, and his name is Selowish, and he was a chief at Skamakaway. And so actually, my family tree runs back to two different chiefs on the Lower Columbia. And I have another famous relative who is Ilchi, who is Conconley's favorite daughter. And her name was Moon Woman. First it was Moon Girl and then Moon Woman. And her statue now is on the Vancouver waterfront along the walking trail. And I helped the sculptor, Eric Jensen of Scappoose, change her. We had a cone hat on her head, and she was in clay, of course, and I asked him to take the hat off and to let her hair flow and put beads in her ears and trinkets in her nose and, of course, the cedar bark skin mantle around her. And she's really a beautiful woman, and she right now she's just the queen of the Columbia in Vancouver. The story about her goes is that one day that she said that the white man would come and the rivers would float and the red fish would come no more. And this has happened now since we put in all of our dams. And so her prophecy came true. And when the white man came with his disease, Ilchi took many of the tribe to the hills to escape the disease. And that's probably the reason why we are still here today. Sometimes I'm asked the question where the Chinooks really came from. We all know that they've been here for over 10,000 years, according to carbon dating. And if you really want to know and put it into perspective, that's 8,000 years before Jesus Christ. The Chinooks could not write, as other Indians early in the days. They couldn't write English. So they told legends around the campfire at night. Old Man South Wind, long, long ago, was traveling north along the Pacific Ocean and eventually neared the mouth of the Columbia River. There he met Giant Woman and told her he was hungry. Giant Woman had no food, but she lent him an enormous net and explained he could catch fish in it. Old Man South Wind took the net and headed for the gray waters of the Pacific. When he got there, he unfolded the net and dragged it along the ocean floor until he caught a fish. It was not an ordinary fish, but a small whale, which Old Man South Wind brought ashore and began to cut. Giant Woman, who was present at the scene, instructed him to slice the whale lengthwise, from head to tail. But Old Man South Wind was so famished that he ignored Giant Woman, and because it was quicker, drew the knife over the arc of the whale's back from side to side. Suddenly, the whale turned into a monstrous bird. The bird then rose into the air, flapping its wings so powerful that they shook the earth. As he climbed, Bird Monster blotted out the sun. Soon Old Man South Wind and Giant Woman saw that it was really Thunderbird. They were in awe of this great bird as they watched it fly to the mouth of the Columbia River. There atop Saddle Mountain, Thunderbird built a large nest and laid several eggs on it. One day when Thunderbird flew away, Giant Woman climbed high to the bird's nest. She mischievously cracked an egg, but it was bad, and she threw it down the mountain. She cracked another and another until she had broken them all and hurled them from the peak. Each time an egg landed at the base of the mountain, it became an Indian. This is how the first Chinook men, women, and children came to be. Another story I'd like to talk to you about is on my Indian button blanket, given to me by Catherine Harold Trowe, one of the elders of the tribe. The legend inscribed on my button blanket is this. Once when the world was very young, raven, killer whale, beaver, and eagle decided to have a picnic. At this time in the world, things were not as we know them now. There were no oceans or continents, and nothing familiar to us. But there was a very high mountain from which the gods could watch how the world grew. Eagle decided to have a picnic on top of the mountain. All the creatures arrived, each bringing his own food. Everyone put his food into a big pile with all the food that others had brought. Everyone, that is, except Eagle. He arrived with no food in sight, just carrying a small basket under his wing. The others sat around and talked and laughed, but not Eagle. He just sat quietly, and every once in a while, when he thought he was not seen, he dipped his beak into the basket and just as quietly withdrew. He said not a word. Now Raven, who is a very gay talker, enjoyed a joke, became a little worried about Eagle, and kept darting little glances out of the corner of his eyes at Eagle. He soon saw that Eagle must have something very wonderful in his basket, so good that he had to look at it from time to time to see if it was still there. Raven became so worried that he just had to do something, so he lured Eagle into putting down his basket and coming over to the main group. Quick as a wink, Raven was over to Eagle's basket and scooping it up and putting it under his wing. He flew away with it. In the basket was the first water in the world. As Raven flew away with it, the water spilled out of his basket and fell to the dry earth below, where it became ponds, lakes, rivers, seas, and oceans of the earth. That is how water comes to our earth.
Chief Cliff Snyder is on the board of the Confluence Project and works with artist and architect Maya Lin, who has created 7 art installations following Lewis and Clark's path along the Columbia River. Special thanks to Turtle Island Storytellers editor, Carl Shanks. At one time, the Chinook peoples lived off the land along the shores of the great waters of the Pacific Ocean in a state of unimaginable abundance. The land and ocean beaches, the bays and spits gifted them with harvests of thousands of salmon and other fish, razor clams and mud clams, deer and elk, ducks and geese, berries and roots. The people all worked together and shared their bounty. If one of them would get an elk or bring home a deer, they divided that meat up for everybody in the village. If someone needed assistance, it was provided for them. And when the Corps of Discovery arrived at the shores of the Pacific Ocean, the Chinook offered their survival skills, food, and guidance. Today, we honor the Chinook for commemorating their ancestors' cultural heritage and their tenacity and their determination to be re-recognized by the federal government. The Lewis and Clark Expedition of 1803 through 1806 was a major event that shaped the boundaries and the future of the United States and changed forever the lives of indigenous people all across this continent. We acknowledge all of the Native nations along today's bicentennial trail for their efforts in restoring harmony and sustaining their cultural and historic resources for tomorrow's grandchildren. We thank you for joining us on Wisdom of the Elders Radio. I'm Arlie Neskai. Hagoanet till we meet again.
Wisdom of the Elders Radio is produced in Portland, Oregon, with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail at National Park Service, the Benton Foundation, the National Endowment for the Arts, and the Oregon Arts Commission. Special thanks to our team, producers Clark Salisbury, Brian Bull, Judy Bluehorse Skelton, Don Addison, Bruce Crespin, and Carl Shanks. Story editor and director Larry Johnson. Program host Arlie Neskahai. Tribal Rhythms host Nico Wind. Web team Clark Salisbury and Sean Dillon. Archivist Paul Woodsong. Tribal liaison Elaine Lanigan. Transcriber Anna Kastner. Distribution manager Beth Dillon. Executive producer Rose Highbearer. Special thanks to our friends at Jack Straw Productions, Seattle, Washington, to Deborah Crosswell at the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation, to our educational scholars Larry McClure, Ray DeMolly, Sally Thompson, Jim Ronda, and Lauren Olson, and to American Indian Radio on satellite. Thanks to Paul Eubanks at Ten Wolves Productions and to Nico Wynn for providing our theme sounds. And special thanks to all the recording artists and music producers who generously shared their music for our program.